Hello, this is the Love Letter Squad. I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to another wonderful 30 minutes of a story and a love letter. And I just want to say that a love letter does so many things, and it's not just for romance. It's for any kind of gratitude. It's for any kind of love. It's for anything at all that you might have to say. We're not saying that everybody needs to get a love letter from you, but if you have a letter that you want to say or anything positive you want to express, why not make it a love letter? And it's a chance to put your best self on paper. So I'm going to go right to our guest. Today we have Meredith Browning, who works for Aegis Living. Do you have a website, Meredith, that you want
to... I do. It's www.aegisliving.com.
AegisLiving.com, and we'll hear more about that in a minute. And Cherry Korshen, who also goes by Lee Korshen. And Lee is a caterer. Her company is called Putting on the Ritz, and she does film catering. And Lee's website is www.puttingontheritz.biz. That's PUTTINONTHERITZ.biz. So I'm going to go to the two of you because I love this story. And this is a story about friendship and what happened to it and then what happened to it. So why don't you just start, Meredith, and tell us about your friendship. And Lee, you just chime in every time you have something to add or say. And sure. talk about Aegis Living for a minute first.
Aegis Living is, I work in the community at San Rafael, and it is a community for elderly people who have issues with daily living and also with memory. So we have two separate small community within a community, the dementia unit and Alzheimer's, and then the assisted living community. We've got 54. It's very small. It's like a bed and breakfast. Just a
lovely
community.
Okay, thank you. Now tell us about your friendship. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say that today, because we have a guitar in the next studio, I don't know how this is going to come out. Let's speak a little more loudly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. So tell us about the friendship and how you met and what happened.
We met through our involvement with Al-Anon. I started going there, 25 years ago, and happened to sit down next to Cherry one evening, and I looked at her and said, gosh, she kind of looks like my ex-husband's wife. Kind of a really good-looking blonde Marin kind of
Thanks,
jazzy
Meredith.
Person.
And this made you want to sit next to her?
Well, there was I just happened to sit down next to her. You know, when
That's
you go to
the only empty
you just
space.
Sit down.
Yeah.
And she has her story about her first experience with me, which, are you going to tell that?
I am going to tell that because I was going through a really painful divorce with a man who was drinking heavily, and Al-Anon was something that saved me from a lot of worry and heartbreak. And I went to my first meeting and sat down next to this very attractive, tall, redheaded gal, and I was just shrouded in pain. And I looked at her, and I thought, gee, why is she here? Why is she here? She's just, you know, so beautiful. And then she sort of smelled like garlic. And I had this whole fantasy of, she probably had some fabulous dinner date in San Francisco at some fantastic Italian restaurant. And she probably had spaghetti carbonara or something. And compared to my life at the time, that just seemed so wonderful. And I kind of wrapped my arms around myself and sunk down. And when the meeting was over, I got up to leave. And when I got into the parking lot, I heard this voice say, "Good night, Cherry."
Aww.
And I looked up, and it was Meredith. And I thought, I'm going to come back to another meeting, because that was just what I needed at that point in time, just to be acknowledged.
Isn't that interesting how sometimes you just get what you need from someplace totally unexpected?
Yes. Yeah.
I think Cherry was born to be a caterer, because all through our friendship, she would mark every experience that she had with what she was eating in the restaurant.
Yes, you're right. I just realized that. To take your garlic smell and make a whole menu out of it.
She would be telling me about this awful thing she was going through, and she said, yeah, and we were having the spaghetti with meatballs, and the meatballs had parsley in them and a little chopped garlic, and it's just hilarious.
So how did your friendship proceed from there?
Gosh, we
Is that just when you saw each other at meetings?
Oh, no.
Immediately.
Well, our kids, Meredith's daughter and my son, were about the same age, and then I had a daughter, and we started doing things together. We went to go see Cats in the city, you know.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was so much fun, and had a great, here again, dinner at Fog City Diner, and that was fabulous.
What did you order?
As a matter of fact, that did escape me.
By the way, you just did something I think that's so interesting in terms of the whole world of love letters. You're talking about something you remember, a very big specific, and Meredith, you said, I forgot about that.
And we do that quite a bit.
Really? It's nice.
And now, in the second coming.
Okay, well, one of the joys, I think, of bathing in the positive is that sometimes you remind the person of something that other person has not even remembered. Okay, well, go ahead. So I want to hear about the second coming of your friendship or what happened to the first.
Oh, I just wanted to tell it. I wanted to tell a little cherry story. I always had these cherry stories. And even in the whole 10 years that we were, I guess I can use the word, estranged, not in contact.
Estranged.
But I would see things or hear things, and I would think to myself, Cherry would love this.
Oh.
You know? And so,
oh, even when you were not in touch.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was she was always in my life, even when we weren't connected. And we were both single mothers at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one story where she was catering an event, and she ran into an old friend, male friend, who asked her out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to go do something in the city, but the way that it worked out was it would be easier for her to pick him up and go into the city to do the event. So he said, why don't you stay for dinner? I don't know if you remember this.
I don't remember this.
It's one of my favorite stories. So she gets there for dinner, and he serves her own leftovers from the event.
Oh.
Well, you remember now?
it wasn't. The beginning wasn't quite like that. It was a date. I had met this fellow at an event that I was catering, and he invited me. I gave him the leftovers, being a bachelor, and he took the leftovers, and then he invited me out to dinner, and 3 days later, the dinner was at his house,
mm-hmm.
and he was serving me the leftover Peking chicken or whatever that I had served at the party.
Did you say anything?
Yeah, I turned down a second date. You know, he said, well, this is fun. Can we do it again? And I went, I think not. But the funny thing was that I told this story to a newspaper. It was an article on the worst first dates you'd ever been out on, mm-hmm. and they printed it. But I forgot about telling you that. How funny.
That's so funny because I told the same story to another newspaper some years later, and they printed it again.
Did you put your name
story.
On it?
Yeah.
Or did you give me credit?
But I said it was you.
Well, also to your credit is that your Peking chicken held up for 3 days.
Oh.
You know, that's something. That's a plus.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah. No, I never went out with him again.
But as far as saying something, that made me laugh. Cherry has a really big personality.
I can see it.
Cherry says what she thinks. Yeah, that's one of the most attractive things about her.
Foot and mouth disease.
No, I just really love that about her.
So go ahead about your friendship then. How did that progress? And
we were tight. I mean, we were mm-hmm. friends for a really long time.
I think it had to do with our senses of humor, too. We found humor in anything. I mean, we were both going through some not-so-great times, and yet we'd find humor in it.
Yep. I remember after an especially hard breakup where I was totally isolating myself.
Didn't a breakup of someone you were dating while you were...
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so I was in my house, wasn't answering the phone. She nearly broke the door down, dragged me off to a bar and poured champagne down my throat and propped me up until I could come back into the world.
Good. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you were single for how long?
33 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Yes. Till I met the wonderful Noah Griffin.
Yes. Well, we know Noah. Noah actually did two radio shows with us, and they were both just wonderful, and he's gorgeous. And I have to ask you something, because I know Noah is a singer, of course. And just before we started talking here, you mentioned that inside you, there's a singer.
My mother was a singer.
What kind?
And she was a singer like Noah. She sang in nightclubs.
Mm-hmm. Where?
New York.
Uh-huh.
And she was also in the first Broadway production of Oklahoma.
Oh. And what part did she play?
She was just in the chorus, uh-huh. dancing. But my mother's relationship, my mother was the alcoholic in my family, and she was the reason I was in Al-Anon. And my mother told me my whole life that I couldn't sing. And so I never did sing. And Noah has always been very encouraging. Says, yes, you can. You can sing, and you should. But
do you sing with him at home ever?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is something new. I had no idea you had this singer.
Hang around.
Wanting to get out.
But why do you think, I'm just interested, I know it's kind of off the track, but what was in it for your mother telling you you couldn't sing?
Oh, my mother was just very competitive.
Oh.
I was the oldest
I would answer
daughter.
It. Yeah, yeah, answer it.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Okay. So, and you were single for how long? Are you still? I don't know.
I'm involved in a relationship now, and but I've been married 3 times. And I was sort of single off and on. During the important parts of Meredith's and my friendship, I was single, although I was dating. Remember Robert Story, the artist? I was dating Robert for a while, who I met also at Al-Anon.
Nice
just a
man.
Wonderful, wonderful man, wonderful artist. But that was what was so defining and fun about our friendship. We had time to spend with one another. We had children in common. We had
Are they still
sense
friendly?
Of humor. You know, they're not. My son is in Thailand. My daughter lives in San Diego. It's not that they're not friendly. They're
that
just
makes
so
hard.
Out of touch.
Yeah.
Kate's in Healdsburg.
Have they connected on Facebook,
yes.
Josh and Kate?
Yes, Josh and Kate.
Great.
Isn't Facebook wonderful? I know
I
we're going to get to that, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
What happened with the friendship that made it difficult?
I was living in Napa. I had moved to Napa. I was just going through my last divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably wasn't in the best place. And Meredith did something that irritated me, or it was, I think she broke plans to do something, and it had happened more than once in a short period of time, and I think I just said, well, that's it, I'm done. And we never spoke again for 10 years, and it wasn't...
And you didn't talk to each other about it?
No.
Do you remember it that way also?
I remember that I broke last-minute plans because there was an emergency with my daughter that I had to tend to, but Cherry was right. I had broken plans before I was going through a depression. And, and you know, so that's what I was doing.
Yes.
And she had left me. We talked about it, and then she had left me a voicemail, and I didn't listen to it. I still don't know to this day what she said in the voicemail.
Because you just hurried it through, or?
No, because I knew it would be angry, and I just couldn't handle anger.
I was pretty angry back then.
Yeah. And so my regret was that I hadn't listened to it, because it actually prevented me from reaching out, because I didn't know what was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Facebook really made it.
Okay, so how did you find each other on Facebook?
I found her.
You looked?
Yeah. I had been looking for over the years. I think she just got on Facebook.
I am so computer illiterate. The fact that I even had my name on Facebook was a miracle. No picture, no nothing.
How did you decide to do that?
Everybody was doing it, and somebody said it would be good for business, and so I was. And I also wanted to see what my son was doing, because he's got his own website and Facebook and everything. So I thought that way I would have better access to Josh and stuff like that. So I did. All I had was a name. I don't think I had a profile or anything, did I?
I don't remember. I was just so thrilled to find the name.
Facebook is wonderful. I found people I have lost touch with, like grammar school friends. It's just been heaven.
Yeah.
Cherry, have you changed your name over the years, or have you kept your same surname?
Well, I did change my name. I went from one name to another, to my ex-husband's name, and I wanted to go back because of business, they knew me as Caution, so I kept that name, but that's actually my ex's name.
But I knew all her names, so I kept them all.
There weren't that many.
Okay, so you found...
I found
Cherry on Facebook, and then you wrote to her and said what?
I just sent her a little note saying, nice to see you on Facebook. Oh. I thought it was kind of a safe way to reach out, and I didn't know what to expect, which, I thought maybe I'd get a real blast.
Oh!
But boy, she was so great. She said, I'm so glad to hear from you.
Oh.
I thought, oh, God, that's so wonderful.
And that was fantastic.
Yeah, we got together within 2 days.
It was like preparing for a first date. Were you nervous?
I was
nervous.
It was, so I was
thinking. I can imagine.
We met at this great place at the Left Bank, right? Here
right.
We go again with the food, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite restaurant.
Oh, my. She didn't change
it's in Marin.
One
yeah.
bit. Not one bit. She's still...
Did you talk about the rift, or did you just talk about?
No, not really.
Because it was
going
so unimportant
forward.
Over the years. Yeah. It was negligible. I mean, what was more important was seeing her and connecting again.
Well, after two cosmos, I said to her, "I'm so sorry." No, what I said was this, and it's really true, is that I talked about Cherry's big personality and how she really says what she thinks, and I'm not that way. I kind of don't. If I'm feeling my feelings are hurt sometimes, or I'm irritated, I won't say anything about it. And so, what I realized and what I learned from this is that I need to set boundaries and step up more. And I think if I had done that, we probably wouldn't have had the break. Because I just got to the point where
you don't say because you don't know what you're going to get in return. If you say how you feel or that you're upset with them,
I grew up in an environment where to do anything like that would have been dangerous,
mm-hmm.
and so it's just a pattern that I've learned over the years, and I'm much better about it because I'm living with someone who's like living with a 24-hour-a-day therapist.
Oh, good.
So, and you get older and you learn.
Yes.
Hopefully you learn.
Yes. I think with age just comes a kind of comfort, and you can say, who gives a...
I love being my age as long as I stay healthy. I'm 66, and I love being 66 as long as I stay healthy.
And I'm much younger than she is.
Yes, she is. She became much younger.
How much younger are you?
Many years. Wait. She became much younger than me in the last couple of years.
So it's by some miracle. It's like a trip to Lourdes.
That's the way it works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I just turned 50.
Oh, in fact.
No, so not in fact.
Oh.
You don't see my head turning and looking at her, do you?
I did.
That's all I'm going to say on
okay.
that.
I actually had a friend who was always telling everybody how much younger she was than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, I believed it. And then her husband gave her a surprise 50th birthday party. And she walked into this room of, 120 people and crumbled to the floor and screamed, "Oh, my God, now everyone knows how old I am."
Was she serious?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And she had everyone believing she was quite a bit younger. Each friend thought, and it was just, I'm sure it was such a relief.
Oh, that's
it's
funny.
It's always a relief to have the truth out, isn't it?
When my mother was 35 years old.
Not always.
One of the kids was carrying in a birthday cake for her. She took a look at it. She picked it up and fired it against the wall in the dining room. She didn't want to be 35.
Get rid of it. Oh.
Well, I don't want to be 35.
But yeah, see, that's the cheat. You can't do that.
Right.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. I wish I were. Yeah. But you want the advantage of the wisdom.
That's right.
Yes.
I think as you get older, too, that the things that bothered you when you were younger, there's so much more acceptance in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize what's important and what is not.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that was one of the things with Meredith, which is I was so glad to hear from her. Because I too thought about, you've always been such a dear friend to me in my heart, even when we were apart, that when I heard from you again, it was just like running, nothing had happened, I just felt like we picked up.
We did. We just picked up.
Now, isn't that the nice thing about real heart-to-heart friendship,
mm.
is that even over time and distance,
right.
the first word, time just collapses.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
But at what point, obviously we're talking about this whole thing now, so at some point you must have talked about what happened between you, or maybe you never did.
No, not so much.
It was sort of ridiculous anyway, I chalk it up to my being in a bad place and maybe her being in a bad place.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's so clear to each of you that you were not in a position to accept whatever it is the other one was offering.
Right.
I think if it were to happen now, I'd be more able to just verbalize things and, be more accepting also.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think my boundaries were so sharp and so controlled that...
Would you, if somebody had done that now, broken a couple of dates, would you say you've broken three dates, what's going on?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would, but I don't think I would end a friendship over it.
Right.
So
you'd search the reason, and maybe you could even be helpful.
Yeah, right.
I had a friend who used to do that all the time. She broke every lunch date. I started; it got to be kind of a joke. I knew that I could schedule brain surgery and make a lunch date with her on the same date.
Oh!
I wasn't that bad.
No, I know you weren't, but I'm saying I know what that. Yeah.
No. It's
just reminded me of that unbreaking name.
And I had no boundaries. Yeah. So that, and so her boundaries may have softened and mine have toughened up a little.
Good. So you meet in the middle.
Strengthened up a little.
So where does the letter come in?
Well, I have it here.
Would you read it to us?
I would love
tell us. At what point did you send
this
letter?
Or at what point did you write it?
About a month later. Because I was walking around with this really full heart. And I wanted to tell her about it. So I started it with Dear Lee because she had been calling herself Lee.
I changed my name.
I think I'm going to call her Cherry Lee because I really know her by
name. Is that your birth name, Cherry Lee? So you have both?
It's Cheryl Lee.
Oh.
Cheryl Lee. But everybody called me Cherry, C-H-E-R-Y.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I just decided to take the Lee. I thought it was a little bit more grown up.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
No. Dear Lee, finding you again through Facebook after all these years was so wonderful. I hadn't realized how much a part of my heart you owned until we connected once again.
You know what? Just stop for a minute.
Okay.
Because this is just fine. And how lovely it is that even reading this again brings back the feeling that you have so strongly.
We may all need a Kleenex.
Right. But here, you take this
Thank
one.
Thank you. The little stone of grief that took up home in my heart has left, leaving me with only gratitude and appreciation for our reconciliation. Only good memories remain of our long friendship. Our kids, teenagers, when we met, have all grown and have lives of their own.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Or do you want to wait a minute and you finish?
No, I'll read it.
You're good. Your voice is better.
I'm tough. I remember gathering at your home with all of us. Josh, Mia, Kate, and the laughter. Mischief, picture-taking, and your great nurturing spirit evident through the meals you put before us. Having a caterer as a girlfriend has all kinds of benefits. Coming together again after the challenges of raising kids alone and sharing all those memories of past years is truly a gift. You know me and my history better than anyone outside my family, and I know yours. Our bond is special. And I treasure the past we shared and welcome you back into my life as my BFF. I love you.
That's just really a spectacular little letter.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. For so many reasons.
For so many reasons. Let's talk about some of them. But how did you feel when you got this?
I was more than touched.
Mm-hmm.
I just love Meredith. I love her. I always have. Mm-hmm. I always will. And I sort of berate myself for taking our friendship so lightly. I think I took our friendship very seriously, which is why I ended it the way I did. Mm-hmm. I think if I didn't care that much for her, I would have gone, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was so very, very hurt when things fell apart. And that was my thing. Instead of showing hurt or vulnerability, mm-hmm. I go straight into the anger mode. So reading that letter touched that part of my heart, and it was beautiful.
So you just touched on something that Teresa and I talk about a lot in the whole world of love letters, and we've had a couple of people come to us with really just anger and said, I don't want to write a love letter, I want to write a hate letter. And really that anger was a function of love disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And because you love somebody so much, you can be hurt more easily.
Absolutely.
And it turns into anger. And sometimes the letter writing just heals so much. But can we talk about your letter?
Sure.
Oh, it's just wonderful. Okay. So this is a letter of just total love and gratitude. And you do so many really wonderful things that we talk about. And then I think we say a good love letter says hello and a great love letter changes lives. And I think this is really a great one. And
it's not terribly long.
No, that's a good point. It's rather short, which is important because sometimes you want somebody just to read it and get to the point quickly. But you talk right about her. You go right into talking about her. And a love letter is about the other guy. It's not all about you and what you want and what you did last summer. And one thing you say is, I hadn't realized how much a part of my heart you owned until we connected once again. So you're talking a little bit about yourself here, but it's in terms of what you feel about Jerry. It's just gorgeous. And here you talk about the little stone of grief that took up home has left. That is gorgeous. That is just gorgeous. Because sometimes that little stone of grief or sorrow just gets in there, and it's just a constant irritant. Mm-hmm. And how nice to have that gone, and how wonderful that you said so. So I just, everything about this is about Cherry.
It's and a love letter to Cherry, so it should be about Cherry.
Definitely, that's right.
Well, and about the relationship.
But we just kind of want to say that out loud on the air, because I hope that the people who are listening to this show will, if they can or if they need to, do a letter like this. Just to do some kind of a letter and not let a friendship languish, a friendship that should be, or even just inviting somebody new into your life. It can be done so beautifully in a letter.
It's about gratitude, too.
That's right.
You know,
that's
it
what
absolutely
we're all about.
Is. And I'm writing a lot more letters, you
good
know,
for
to
you.
People that mean a lot to me.
Cherry, where will you have this letter? So where do you keep it?
Mm-hmm. I keep it in a dresser drawer under private things.
Now, the only thing I don't see on this, and maybe it was, is a date.
I didn't put a date on it.
Okay. So
it's an evergreen.
It's what?
An evergreen.
Yes.
Do you know what an evergreen is?
What's
in
evergreen?
Terms of songs?
Oh, no.
It's a song that you can sing forever, and it's not dated.
Okay. So that's wonderful. But I hope that you put a date on it. Would that be cheating for you to scrawl a date on it?
No,
as far as you can remember, because when your grandchildren find this, wouldn't
under
it be
your
nice?
Private things.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I think dates are really important.
But 1950.
No. And then you can scroll your actual age underneath it, Cherry.
It was only like 3 months ago or something
right.
like that.
Okay, so whenever it is, though, I mean, I always look to the future. This is a part of your history.
We're as old as the Titanic, aren't we, Meredith?
I had a boss who once told me I was old as dirt, and I told him I wouldn't sue him for that remark.
Anyway, so I think that's really important, because don't you think that when people find this in a couple of generations, I hope they will, they're going to know something so important about the two of you and the love you have, and they're going to know something so important about you in what you're able to express and the kind of love that you're able to have for someone. Now, you have children.
Yes, I have one.
Okay, so won't that be something nice for future generations to know that they come from such a fine pedigree?
Well, she can add it to the love letters I've sent to her.
Perfect. Okay, maybe we'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
I'd like to.
Well, Meredith
thank
and Cherry,
you.
Thank you for joining us. It's just been a delight to have you here and share your life lessons with us and all of our listeners. And our listeners, thank you for joining us. We hope you'll be with us every week at this time. And as always, we sign off by encouraging you to put your loving sentiments into words and send them.
Yes, and gratitude doesn't do anybody any good if you keep it locked away and you never express it.
Right.
So for now, we'll just say goodbye from Janet
and Teresa.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.